둘, 셋, 파!
Borahe Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, and welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks for making your way here, for checking out the episode. Hit that subscribe button, of course, so you can keep up with all the interviews that we put out every single week. You can grab us Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. And please do give the series a rating and leave a review while you're at it. Those always help out so much. We've had some great guests drop by lately. In fact, Lizzie Green was here to talk about her role in the Netflix Western drama Ransom Canyon. We talked with Daryl Hall and John Oates separately. Justin Vernon of Bon Iver was here. Sarah McLachlan, Tracy Thorne from Everything But the Girl. Jeff Bridges, the dude himself, to talk about not only his iconic roles, but his music. And Finn Cole, he dropped in at the beginning of April to talk about the movie Last Breath and Peaky Blinders. Just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast, when you hit that little subscribe button. I'm Kyle Meredith. Today, we are going to do a rewind and looking back at two interviews, two guests with wildly different claims to rock legacy, one who helped define it and one who's protecting it. First up will be Ian Paice, the last original member still keeping Deep Purple in the game over 50 years later as the drummer behind Smoke on the Water. He's one of the few humans whose Tom Fills have been played in every guitar center across America, probably badly most of the time. But don't let that legacy trap fool you. Paice is still bashing away with precision, fire, and probably a little tinnitus, if we're being honest here. And then there's Jean Fogelberg, widow of Dan Fogelberg, who's taken on the role of curator, historian, and gentle mythbuster for one of soft rock's most earnest voices. Jean's been instrumental in keeping Dan's memory alive through reissues, tributes, and some welcome reminders that sincerity isn't a crime. One's still writing the story, the other is preserving the footnotes. And both have something to say about what it means to last in music. So we're going to start with my interview with Ian Paice of Deep Purple that we taped back in 2017 to talk about their 20th album, Infinite, which was an album title that leads to the question, how long can a band go on? All that and more in this rewind. It's Kyle Meredith with Ian Paice of Deep Purple.
Hello, Kyle. How are you, man?
Want to say congratulations on this really great record, Infinite, Infinite. I like the play on the F there, so everything sounds great.
Thank
on
you.
This. Yeah. I got to wonder, with all the band's twists and turns over the years, I mean, album 20 has to be a surprise to some degree.
Hey, getting to album 4 was a surprise. Who knows why certain things stand the test of time and other things don't. You know, it's not beyond our control. You know, we keep doing what we do, and the people out there seem to like it and want to keep it alive. So, you know, we're fighting on the same page here, and we're having fun, and they seem to be enjoying what it is we do. Yeah. It's like a self-generating circle. We love it.
With all the lineup changes that did happen throughout the years, has it been important or even a challenge to have a consistency with the band's sound? Because I really do find there is one with this album.
The instrumental sound is always pretty similar. And that really comes down to the fact that the guitar and the Hammond organ interact so beautifully well in hard rock and roll. And so very few bands utilize that sound. So it does become sort of defined as a Deep Purple sound. And so long as those two instruments are apparent and working together, then you're going to get that connection with what people expect it to be.
And it works so well every time.
Oh, yeah, it works all right.
I noticed the press release was saying this is the most 70s-sounding album since reforming in the 80s. Is that how you hear it, and did you go into it wanting to pull that off?
It wasn't a conscious effort, no. We've been recording the same way from day one. You know, we record the old-fashioned way. There's four of us, the instrumentalists. We sit down in the studio, and we play together, and we try and get the best take we can all together. Fix the little things that need fixing, but the body of what you hear is live playing, and it's captured in the first one, two, or three takes. If it takes longer than that, you ain't going to get it. You might get it perfect, but if you've lost everybody's humanity and swing that's in it, it'll just become sterile. So everything we do, we try and capture it really quickly and try and capture those moments of creation rather than trying to recreate something you thought you did 10 minutes ago. So that's exactly the way we would have to have done it back in the analog days when you didn't have the convenience of digital editing and all the rest of the stuff we take for granted now. So, you know, we're doing it the same way. So if it has that musical similarity, it's just because it's done exactly the same way.
I mean, it's amazing, though, because a lot of bands, you know, that fire leaves. You know, people can't find that creativity after a long time, but here it is, still very fresh in the Deep Purple sound.
Well, it's fun. You know, it's fun. We spend a lot of our year, every year, on the road touring. When we take time out to make a record, it allows those creative juices, the imagination of the band, to come up with new stuff. And it's fun to see where these little ideas will take you. Because once you've got a starting thread for a piece of music, it's a mystery where it's going to go. Everybody throws in their 2 cents worth, and at the end of a couple of hours, you've got something that didn't exist before you got in the studio. And that's sort of exciting. And because the influences come from everywhere, you know, you never idea what it's going to be.
And taking on the Doors song, what brought that about, Roadhouse Blues?
On the last record, we did cover an old Jerry Lee Lewis thing, It'll Be Me. The inspiration came from Bob Ezra, and the producer said, if you did a cover, what would you do? And so the idea was we'd take something from a period of time that really switched us all on to rock and roll. It was Jerry Lee. It could have been Little Richard. It could have been anybody from that period. And Bob said, you want to do another cover? Nobody really knew what to suggest. But between Deep Purple tours, I occasionally guest with a few tribute bands, and I'd been playing with a band, and we'd been playing, I think, at Black Knight it was, and towards the end of the song, the singer went straight into Roadhouse Blues. And I noticed the effect it had on the audience and the musicians on stage, which was wonderful. Quick, stupid grins on everybody's faces and their heads bouncing up and down. So I suggested it in the studio. Well, everybody knew the song. It's simplicity itself to play, you know. And I said, look, let's invest half an hour and see what happens. And that's probably how long it took to get the words, make a little arrangement, and play it all in one take. Everything's live, vocals, solos, the harmonica, the whole thing. I think the take lasts about 15 minutes.
Yeah.
We just kept the first 6 minutes for the album. We played it, we liked it, and said, that goes on.
You know, I was thinking, though, you know, with calling the album Infinite, which is a really grand statement, and then the long goodbye tour, if there was a chance that this was the final piece, if Roadhouse Blues was the final piece in the Deep Purple, you know, studio catalog or whatever, and I don't know that it is. I don't know, you know, I know no one said anything like that, but if it is that a statement that you can end on?
I don't think it's the last record. Yeah. I think whenever this long goodbye tour finishes, and it'll be as long as it needs to be, and, you know, for us, the longer the better, but at the end of it, we'll have a little holiday, and then we'll have a talk. And I think one of the first things that come up, well, should we make another record? So I think that's a great possibility. But we may say, well, that's the last big tour we're going to do. But do you want to do 4 or 5 weeks next year? Maybe. Or is that enough? Do you want to call it a day? That's a possibility too.
Well, I
we've never used the word last because it's just too scary. You know, I've got 50 years of my life tied up in this. I can't plan a last date, a last venue, a last town. I can't do that.
Well, you know, I mean, if you have the word...
make the decision immediately and, you know, and definitely.
And so I'm saying if you have the word infinite, then there is no last. Then it's on and on
and on. It's a lovely ambiguous word. You can play around with it all day long.
I've had fun doing it. I really enjoy this record. Ian, thank you so much for taking the time today.
My pleasure, man.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with this special Rewind episode. Now we're going to head to my interview with Jean Fogelberg, the widow of the late Dan Fogelberg, as well as Norbert Putman. This too recorded in 2017 to talk about the Dan Fogelberg tribute LP that featured folks like Garth Brooks, the Eagles, Nitty Gritty Dirt Band, Michael McDonald, and many more. Part two of this special Rewind episode. It's Kyle Meredith with Jean Fogelberg and Norbert Putman.
Hi, Kyle.
This tribute album, I thought it was funny because, you know, in the press release it says finally, and I think a lot of people have thought that. So I was kind of wondering where we'll start is, how long has this concept been in the making?
7 years and 7 months.
7 years and 7 months.
And 2 hours and 20 minutes.
Not that we're counting. In 2008, I started trying to put together a concert, like Concert for George, which Dan loved, that would be then recorded onto CD. And I was having a terrible time pulling it together. And then I met Norbert. And Norbert said, what if we did a CD first, and then we did the concert after? And then we pulled in Irving Azoff, and it just took off. But it took a very long time, because some of these artists, like the Eagles, were on a world tour. So getting them into their studio to get their tracks done took a little longer than we thought.
Well, I mean, it doesn't look like ultimately you had any problem getting the artists on board. I mean, this lineup is huge.
It is great. We love it.
Well, you know, the other thing is all of the artists were very busy at the time. As you know, all the profits are going to the Prostate Cancer Foundation. And so we'd have to wait until they finished touring or they finished their record. And it just takes a while. I said to Jean that it would take a year and a half. She'll never ask me ever again to estimate a time capsule or anything. Yeah. But I think it all happened in good time, didn't it, Jean? Because we got people. If we finished early on, we'd have missed a few.
We had to let it evolve.
And then looking at some of these artists, I mean, having Vince and Amy do Longer, which, you know, is one of the most purest of the love songs ever. Did they pick that? I mean, because, you know, you look at that and that's one of the biggest hits, and I feel like everybody's going to be fighting for some of the favorites. Did you dole these out, or did you have someone like Vince and Amy say, no, that's the one we want to do?
We did let them pick, but actually that's a perfect example of how it evolved, because Norbert was stalking Vince Gill every time he saw him at an event in Nashville. He'd say, hey, Vince, when are you going to record the song? And Vince would go, soon, but he was really busy. And then finally Norbert ended up talking to someone else, and they said, hey, what if we got Vince and Amy to do a duet? And then once Amy was on board, they decided on Longer, and it happened. But it would have happened differently if Vince had come on board earlier.
Now, did you guys give any directions to the artists about how to do these songs, or was that all just them?
No. I produced four or five of the tracks early on. But afterwards, as people like Train came on board, Train asked me if I wanted to come to San Francisco and be there. And I said, no, I want you to do a Train version. You know, I wanted them to put their stamp on it. And I'm very pleased with the way all of that worked out.
You know, so are there any, I'm sure it's like picking favorites or anything, but I'm sort of wondering, like, you get these tracks back, are there any extra special moments that stand out to either one of you?
Most of them stand out to me, especially the ones where they put the stamp on it. Gene and I talked about Michael McDonald. Tell him the story about Michael and hearing Better Change through the office door, Irving Azoff's office.
Yeah, that was probably back in the late 70s, right? He was sitting outside Irving's office and heard the song coming out, wafting out the door, and it was Dan with his guitar playing it for Irving because he was thinking about putting it on the next album. And Michael thought, that's a good song. I'd like to record that. So Michael came to us and said, I'd like to record Better Change. And Norbert and I both had to go look it up because we didn't know what song it was, one of Dan's lesser-known songs.
And now it's one of my favorites on the record.
Yes.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Gene Fogelberg and Norbert Putman.
You know, when you get these songs, and you're both so close to so many of these songs, when the artists put their own stamp and reinterpret, it sort of gives you that chance to hear them, you know, in a different way. And I don't know, are there any moments where you're like, you know, I've never realized this song, you know, had that or is about that or something? Like, did you ever have those moments with these covers?
Well, Same Old Lang Syne, Train, it's you can dance to it. And it's amazing, and it's wonderful. That's probably, for me, the most surprising version, and we both love it.
So the dance, too, it's not something you always associate with Ann Fogelberg music.
No, and yet they stayed very true to it.
Young
Casey James did The Raven with a Stevie Ray Vaughan guitar solo that he played, you know. He's a Texas boy.
Yeah,
and I thought he really put a stamp on Raven. But Zach Brown coming out and doing Leader of the Bad. And Gene, we have video on that, don't we?
Yeah.
From Red Rocks?
We're live at Red Rocks. And Dobie Gray, who did Don't Lose Heart. I mean, Dan had actually talked to me about going back into the studio at some point and doing Don't Lose Heart with a little more of a gospel feel, and that's exactly what Dobie did.
Great. It's a great track.
Something that was just, like, naturally there that needed to come out of that song.
I guess so.
Yeah. I tell you, I'm here in Louisville, Kentucky, so we're definitely very close to Run for the Roses. I was really happy to see that on there. I mean, it's, you know, one that we hear every single year around May, every single time without fail. And to have the Nitty Gritty Guys doing that, I mean, that's, for me, such a special moment on this record. And I guess beyond this, I mean, there's a musical, right? Part of the plan? Is that what you guys, are you a part of that, or is that just something that's out there happening in the world?
No, Kate Atkinson and Karen Harris are the two women that did the story behind it, and it premiered in Nashville, and it was amazing, and got great reviews, and now they're trying to get it onto Broadway. It's not Dan's story. It's a beautiful story, but it just uses Dan's music.
That's so cool. And Gene, I did read that there's a song called Sometimes a Song that was written about you. I'm guessing that was hands-off for this album.
We didn't have any hands off, but most of these people probably weren't familiar with it. There was, in the last years, there was a time when I was here finishing our house in Maine and Dan was in Colorado, and it was Valentine's Day and we weren't going to be together. So he wrote that for me. And then on Valentine's Day, FedEx arrived with the CD, kind of like a Valentine card for me, the song was.
This is a really, really, really cool project. And again, having this kind of star power on board just goes to show the strength of Dan's music. So, you know, good job on you all. Congratulations. And thank you for sharing it with the world.
Thank you, Kyle.
My pleasure.
And there you go. Gene Fogelberg, Norbert Putman, Ian Pace of Deep Purple. Thanks to all of them. Thanks to you for checking out the episode. Before you get out of here, don't forget to hit that subscribe button. If you're not already, you can grab a Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or again, anywhere you get your podcast from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Please do give this series a rating and leave a review as well. After that, you can head over to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show Monday through Friday starting 6 p.m. Eastern, 4 hours of classics from the 80s and 90s. You get the best in new music. There are bonus interviews, lots of music news as well. In fact, one of my recent shows featured some classics and favorites from Fontella Bass, Boney M., Alison Krauss, R.E.M., School of Fish, Swing Out Sister, Third Eye Blind, Patty Griffin, Radiohead, Beastie Boys, Jack Black, Olivia Dean, Tom Waits, Lucius, and my interview with Iggy Pop. Weeknights starting 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on any of the social media sites. The address is always the same. It's at Kyle Meredith. I do hope you like and follow along. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.